This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk. I've got the people from Digital News Asia, Gabby Goh and A. Asohan. And topic number one today.
Topic
number one. Microsoft named Satya Nadella to replace Steve Ballmer. And obviously, this is a story that needs Asohan's expertise, know-how, mastery, proficiency, adroitness. Ooh. Obviously, I'm reading a script.
All garnered from 21's working for Microsoft.
Yeah. Eh? As a former Microsoft employee himself, what's the meaning of adroitness? Anyway, so Asohan, in your humble opinion, is Satya the right man for Microsoft?
Oh, this is the first time I'm going to give a humble opinion. It's not my usual arrogant one. But
enjoy.
I think of all the internal candidates, he was probably the best choice. Mm. I just don't think they should have gone for an internal candidate. And, you know, that's what we wrote about today in on our website. He was probably one of the best performing executives in Microsoft. Under him, the business that he was in charge of, the enterprise, cloud, and all that grew. There was a lot of pressure on Microsoft's enterprise business because of the BYOD trend and bring your own devices and the consumerization of IT. But he managed to grow that business and gain market share against more adroit competitors, right? So he knows the business. He's got that good combination of technical chops and business ability that Microsoft make him possibly, we hope, potentially an improvement over Steve Ballmer, who was pure businessman. But he's been with the company for 22 years. I mean, he's 46 years old. That means he joined when he was about 24, right? He's been part of the management team. He's the same management team that has got Microsoft in the position it is today, in today, right? So I'm not sure if he's the right person to do the radical changes the company needs.
Okay.
To make that, those kind of radical changes.
Well, you know, maybe because he didn't have as much say. Well, he did have a say, but probably just his division. Yes. And now he has a chance to change things, you know?
Yes.
Why do you feel that someone external would be better?
Well, you know, the perfect example, and you would know about this as well, would be IBM, right? In the 90s.
Good old
when,
Lou.
Yes,
even elephants can dance.
Big Blue.
Yeah.
They needed someone like Lou Gerstner, you know, the biscuit man, to come in and change everything about it. Retain that part of the culture, the values in IBM that were good, but change a lot of other things. It worked for IBM, right? Even Steve Jobs, in a way, radically transformed Apple. I mean, they dropped computer from the name, for God's sakes. They're a consumer electronics company. They also do computers. Their edge now is that they bring into the consumer electronics world their computing ability, right? And this is, it's the digitization of the world, and that's their edge. Satya Nadella would probably want to improve Microsoft, but I don't think an improvement is enough. I mean, in fact, we're talking about it, and I even spoke about it last year in our wrap-up of the year's top stories as well. If you look at the company's revenues and cash flow and all that, they are still healthy. It's a company that's actually doing well, except the market doesn't see it that way. The market still wants to compare Microsoft to companies like Apple and Google and all the sexy new companies.
Which are actually different.
Yeah, it's a different
marketplace.
Ball game.
Yeah, altogether.
But so, you know, it's funny. It's a company that even once, I remember a couple of years ago when their revenues went up 9% against the trend of the industry as a whole, their shares still went down. So, you know, it's like they're in a very hard place. I mean, I think Satya Nadella is a very capable person. I mean, if you look at the record he's had at Microsoft, he's one of the best they have right now. In that sense, it's a good choice.
Okay, so, and people are very, I guess, brand conscious in a way. Do you think he can bring the sexy back?
Well, Microsoft never had the sexy.
Let's
face it. It was never sexy. Even when they were 95.
Can he bring sexy in?
Yeah,
all right. Okay. We had Bill Gates.
He could. He could. I mean, for all the fact that he spent most of his life in the U.S., he still, he'll bring in a certain kind of cultural mix into Microsoft to the fore. I mean, it's always been there, but it's not been in the top leadership team, right? So he'll bring that part. I think it will make it easier for Microsoft to speak to emerging economies as well, whether rightly or wrongly. there would be a bit of that prejudice there as well at play. He knows his technology.
Right.
I mean, he has insight from all I've heard, which is really not even before, actually, when Ballmer first announced his retirement and the candidates first started being bandied about and all that, you know, most of the people I knew in Microsoft that I spoke to then were saying that, you know, if this guy took it, it would be good.
Right.
I mean, he was our bet.
Okay.
Right. So we made the call, actually.
Okay. So there was a lot of buy-in already to say that's the most probable person taking over, which is, you know, I guess great.
Most probable out of the internal candidates.
Okay.
But there was still a strong push, a strong move to try and get an external candidate. But, you know, they're all like celebrity CEOs. Why would they want to come in unless you gave them a really great package to come in and save this floundering company? And then if you...
When you say it's floundering, and that's...
Floundering in the eyes of the market and in the media as well, right? In terms of its revenue numbers, yeah, it's had some bad spots here and there. Even when they do well, the thing is you have to look forward. Where's your revenue going to come from in 2 years' time?
Right? The pipeline.
The pipeline. Yes, they love to use that term in Microsoft pipeline. As well. What's the pipeline like? And that doesn't look so bright. Anyway, because the world is changing. Microsoft has not been changing fast enough for that. It's been steady. It's been doing better than most people give it credit for. But it does have to look into the future and say, you know, what's the world of technology going to be like in 2 years? How are we going to be part of that? And in the end... Image counts. Like, you know, in the end, it's going to be, will anyone ever be thought of cool for using a Windows phone instead of an iPhone?
Number four, right?
They're number three.
Number three.
And Malaysia is actually one of their strongest growth countries in the last year.
Nothing to add, huh, Gabby?
Well, you see, my mission for this entire show is just to shut up and let Asohan talk.
Because the second part is yours. It's also half Asohan,
you know? This is part of my mission today. And
the other thing about this decision that I felt, you know, this is not going to work is that Ballmer's problems was that everyone wanted to compare him with Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to be... Right?
So Tim Cook now, and Steve Jobs. You know?
Yeah. So he's going to have... Satya Nadella will have this challenge. Is he going to strike out on his own good enough that people are not going to compare him to Bill Gates? And the first thing he did, and I feel it's a mistake, was to invite Bill Gates back into the company to ask him to have more of a say.
As a technology advisor.
You think?
Remember his last position there was
because
chief
software architect. Because I think Steve Ballmer sort of like, you know, took away that comparison already.
The thing is, two choices. Okay, even if there's that shadow isn't there anymore, you don't have to work under the shadow of Bill Gates. The fact is, Gates has been out of the industry. You know, I mean,
he's been working on his foundation.
He may have been chairman, but he's like fully into the foundation right now, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I, for me, two reasons why I disagree with this decision is, one, he's doing a great job there. He's doing a great job there. I mean, it's, you know, you've got your billions and he's trying to make the world a better place. You know, Bill, go ahead and do it. Don't stop doing it. But instead, he's been convinced to come back and spend more time with the company. The second reason I disagree with is that you may be a very smart person, but you have not been plugged in into the technology industry for a number of years now.
Okay. If this works out, what's your timeline? 1 year, 2 years, and we'll have another conference. 2 years. Okay. 2 years is your measuring thing, you know. So we'll see in 2 years what happens. Now, okay, I want to talk about the letter to the, you know, the first letter to employees.
Satya's email to the employees.
He didn't sort of, you know, put him... I mean, it was also great, and this was sent out by the PR company, obviously, but didn't it just also sort of give him a personality?
Yes, it does. Is that so right, it's all part, in fact, we mentioned that in one of my colleagues at Microsoft Malaysia, also said that a couple of hours before in our meeting, he said, you know, it's a story, it's a narrative, you know, that Microsoft is driving, you know, some people felt that it was always going to be him. And they were building up a story around him.
Because there are no stories around the people, mostly.
Yes, the others were not. This guy has been...
Okay. Indian boy done well.
Yes, okay. You know. Get everyone excited.
Married for 22 years.
It's only one of
kids.
Two. The other is the Coca-Cola CEO. I mean, that's a story in itself, right? So it's good to see someone from outside the US, hitting one of the most powerful, still one of the most powerful
what
companies.
What about the guy that got in quite a few years back to turn Motorola around? He was an Indian national as well.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who was in charge when they came out with the Razer models.
Yeah,
which
and he did
really
a good job.
Yeah.
He made a good buy for Google.
Oh, yeah.
Saved the company that was almost dead and, you know, made Google say, hey, you guys are doing good stuff. Let's buy them.
So that's, you know, a good strategy too. Now, okay, I'm going to read this in case some people haven't read it. I'm 46. I've been married for 22 years and we have 3 kids. And like anyone else, a lot of what I do and say and how I think has been shaped by my family and my overall life experience. Sounds warm. Many who know me say I am also defined by my curiosity and thirst for learning. I buy more books than I can finish. I sign up for more online courses that I can complete. I fundamentally believe that if you are not learning new things, you stop doing great and useful things. So family, curiosity, and hunger for knowledge all define me.
Mm-hmm. That's very much a Microsoft narrative, yeah. By the way.
Can I just say, mad props to whoever wrote that. Well done. Well done.
Wasn't
indeed.
It? I mean, yeah. You know, it just warmed the cockles of my heart.
Yeah.
Why am I here? I won't go through the rest, but why am I here? I'm here for the same reason I think most people join Microsoft. To change the world through technology that empowers people to amazing things. I know it can sound hyperbolic, and yet it's true. We've done it, we're doing it today, and we're the team that will do it again.
The team, whether you can do it again, that's the thing.
But it's the rapid response team from Wagner at Strom Worldwide PR, in case you need to know.
But there's also that key statement he made in his email to employees. Our industry does not respect tradition. It only respects innovation.
That was a great line.
That's, I mean,
sounds like a tagline for the future.
Yes, but that's a good thing because he recognizes the real pain that Microsoft is going on. You cannot be traditional anymore. You cannot depend on your own traditions. You have to break new ground. Now, the big question is whether he's the right person to do it.
Okay.
You also have to keep in mind, this is the third CEO Microsoft has ever had. So,
it's a
of
company
course,
that
the
was founded in 1975, for God's sake, 38 years, and only 3 CEOs.
Yeah. You got to keep that in perspective as well.
Satya Nadella, all the best to him. You know, hopefully we'll see what happens in 2 years' time.
Show more love for Asia and Southeast Asia, man.
Right, so
more love.
We're gonna
Xbox
be
in Malaysia, Satya. I'll depend
yes,
on you.
Yes, please. Please.
We'll be back. Gabby Goh and A. Asohan from Digital News Asia. And we're going to get an update from discussion last week.
Yes.
Right after this in Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu, Gabby Goh, A. Asohan from Digital News Asia. Just an update of what's been happening in the tech space. We talked about Satya Nadella, the new Microsoft CEO, a little earlier on with Asohan, seeing that, you know, he was a former employee there. Topic number two.
Yes.
Now, last week, we spoke about the MSC status process that came under scrutiny over MOL pay application as the approval committee now dictates pricing terms for a company to be accorded MSC status, and we were trying to get updates last week. And so, it's been a week. Chinese New Year is over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's a new year. What's happened?
To date, as we speak, there has been no official response from MDEC.
Okay.
Two-hour follow-up questions, actually.
Which was to the follow-up question, which you said 3 days, right? And that we had a conversation on Chinese New Year Eve.
Yep.
So nothing.
Nothing since then. So we did do another follow-up article where, because when the story first came out, you know, there was an outpouring of sharing on social media.
Okay, maybe a quick summary for people who don't know what's going on. A quick summary of
what the issue is
about. Asohan, you're great on summary. See, part of my mission, make you speak more.
Okay, so, well, MOL Pay, which is part of the MOL Global group of companies, applied for MSC status, and the approval committee sent them a letter saying that they have been accepted on these conditions, and these conditions then spelled out the pricing, the
terms.
Fees that MOL has to charge, MOL Pay has to charge its customers, which of course got Ganesh Kumar Banga, the CEO of MOL Global, up in the tiff, because it's like, how can you dictate pricing? How can that be even a condition for MSC status? I mean, pricing should be set by market forces and business objectives.
Right. So, he went ahead anyway because
he
wanted
they went
MSC
ahead
status.
Because, but saying that it would be detrimental to the business. And sadly for Malaysia, that MOL will have to relook at its further investments that come in, maybe have to go to friendlier regimes like Singapore and Hong Kong.
Right.
Which is sad.
Which is sad. for but something that's
understandable.
So, and you then follow up with some questions.
Okay. Well, after, after we ran that story, we had actually sent MDAC some questions. They responded. Well, we gave them more than enough time, and in fact, extended our deadline for the response. They finally responded, and I thought there wasn't enough clarity in there.
Mm.
And so we, Gabby and I both sent some follow-up questions, and they still hadn't responded, by which time the outpouring on social media convinced Gabby there was a follow-up. And
when people started sharing the story about MOL Pay's case, you know, on Facebook and all, especially, I was tracking all this, and it was just... Immediately, people just start sharing their own horror stories of what they went through when they applied for MSC status. And here's the part which really frustrated me and to be honest, practically broke my heart, because Facebook is not a public platform. It is, by strict definition, a walled garden. So if you want to share the stories that people are sharing on Facebook, as a journalist, you have to contact each individual and ask them for permission. And... it was the same thing I got for most of the people I reached out to. They declined to be named.
Okay.
Some declined to have their story shared at all, and they were citing fears of reprisal from the relevant authorities for speaking out about their own horrific experiences in dealing with the representatives when applying for MSC status. The ones that did agree to share their stories for the follow-up article only did so like under the condition of anonymity. It was a negotiation, you know, okay, you know, you can use my name, but not my company's name. You can't use my company's name at all because, you know, for the same fears, you know. And this heightened sense of fear of reprisal, of retaliation for speaking about things that happened to them. To me, that was my biggest takeaway from this whole issue. Why is there such a heightened fear? I mean, in a sense, we all kind of get it. We understand where they're coming from. There have been incidents in the past where this fear is not unfounded. But, you know, it really does all... It's almost like for any other corporation, you know, or any other situation, it's a customer service complaint in its most base thing. Yes. It's customer service, you know? And
it is civil service.
Yes. And, you know, you could say that these things are a privilege, these incentives are a privilege and not a right, and you should be grateful that the government is being generous and all that stuff. Yes. You know, it's great that our government is so supportive of entrepreneurs and ICT companies and wanting to build the ecosystem. But at the same time, you know, there has to be a level of professionalism on both sides.
Okay, fine. So you had some follow-up questions. Was a deadline given...
Yes. We even extended the deadline.
Did they respond and said that we'll come back to you another day?
No response at all.
No response.
So with this follow-up article, you have asked them again for feedback?
Yeah, we sent them an email, gave them a heads up. Hey, we're going to be running a follow-up piece. You know, more people have shared their stories. You know, you still haven't answered our follow-up questions we sent before. And it's...
Because the issue here, I should add, is that this approval committee is not MDAC.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
The approval committee is essentially the government of Malaysia,
right,
which is the board, MDAC's board, in essence, right? And they operate kind of independently of MDAC. MDAC has a representative on board the committee whose role is to facilitate discussions and argue for the case, this, that, or one, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. And Gabby and I was talking about it, and she was saying that, you know, there needs to be a look at the process. And I disagree slightly in that sense. I think it's still important for the approval committee to be independent.
Right.
It's a control mechanism. Mm. In fact, this is what Dr. Walter Gabriel from Chaos commented on our Facebook page, is that, you know, you shouldn't be whining if you're not accepted by the process. And he feels that many companies that have been accorded MSC status don't deserve it anyway. Right, they're not pushing the envelope. They're not really technology companies. They are services companies that happen to use technology. Right, so that is an important factor, and that is one of the reasons why the companies that are most affected by this approval screw up, if you like, the committee and complaining, are e-commerce companies.
Yeah,
okay, fine. So these comments were made on Facebook, but not willing to be quoted in the story.
Yeah,
same diff, right?
Walled garden aside for Facebook, is that you got friends and friends and friends.
Yeah.
Word gets around.
Anyway.
The relevant authority. Any time you put something up on Facebook, people will know.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
So for me, the frustration was that, why are we so quick to sham Facebook?
And yet not be willing to be quoted
by the media, right? I mean, I can understand some cases, but the number of people who declined and wanted to be anonymous in our report, although it's already in a semi-public sphere,
yeah,
the experiences.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So are we going to continue the story next week?
I don't know. It all
depends now on whether MDAC responds, and then if they don't, which they probably won't, we have to discuss further. Because,
yep.
I mean, to be fair, I don't want to be seen flogging MDAC either. It's not an issue. For me, it's
just
not an MDAC
answer.
Issue.
We just
no.
want
It's
answers.
A government issue.
Yeah, and we just need
just
to know.
Answers.
You also have to keep in mind, MDAC is a large, agency made up of multiple people. These things seem to be isolated to the e-commerce companies applying for MSE status. So, we're pretty much of the opinion this is a case of, the left hand going off and doing something without the head or the right hand knowing.
Mm.
You know, we are fully convinced that this is the case. But the thing is that until we get an official response, until we get clarity into the situation and some form of at least an explanation.
Right. One of the questions MDAC didn't answer, and that was in the original draft of questions we put in there, is this condition setting pricing part of the new procedure at MDAC? If it is not and it was done independently, are you going to conduct an inquiry to find out why is this happening?
Right.
Because even though the approval committee is independent, it is about the MSC Malaysia project, the initiative, and MDAC is in charge of that. It has to take action if it's something funny going on there.
Yes.
Again, the key word, clarity.
Yes.
Or transparency, as you said last week.
Okay.
Transparency.
Companies need to know about these changes,
next week,
if any.
Stay tuned as we continue on this topic and other things. Gabby Goh and A.R. Sohan from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.